live from the mysterious, mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications Headquarters. You're listening to X and Y on the Fly, the dating podcast, with your hosts, Scott and Emily.
All right, everybody, how's it going? My name is Scott McKay.
And I'm Emily McKay.
And we're coming at you again with another episode of The Big Show. And today is a special one, Emily, because in the last 10 weeks since we did a show together, we've celebrated 20 years together.
We have. 20 wonderful years.
20 wonderful years. Not 21 yet. Our relationship 20. Is not drinking age yet.
Right.
People are out there going, no way, dude. 2 decades? You got to be kidding me. How did you make it happen? Well, that's why we're here today, Emily, because talking about the seasons of marriage in many ways is talking about how a marriage stays successful over that many years, because it's not going to be the same every day, all day long, for years and years and years for the rest of your life. First of all, that would be boring. That's like couples who get together and just Netflix and chill from day one and never do anything else. You don't want that. There should be seasons in a marriage, right?
Absolutely. I mean, life isn't just going to happen and nothing bad happens or nothing great happens. So those are things that will result in how you go through life. We call those seasons, whether they be ups or downs or anything in between.
Winter, summer, spring, and fall.
Good and bad.
Well, you know, when we met, you were in your mid-30s and I was in my late-30s, and we didn't get married until I was actually 40 years old. It was after my 40th birthday. What seasons might we have gone through, Emily, if we had married much younger? In other words, if we had met, you know, in our late teens maybe and gotten married too young or into our 20s, what are the seasons we could theoretically have gone through? Because I think that'll matter to people listening, because they're all thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute, I'm only 21, 23 years old. Maybe I haven't been married yet. How is this particular episode even relevant to me?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, we were married in our 20s. Actually, I got married at 19 the first time around.
To someone else.
Yes.
To be clear. Yeah.
So I do have some experience of getting married young. And I think as a young person, there's a lot of different seasons. But, you know, I think in many ways we experience those same things even in our mid-40s or mid-30s. For example, you know, you still have to get used to each other's habits, get used to day-to-day life, the going to work, the different nuances. But I think as a young person, you have all these wild imaginations of how perfect everything's supposed to be. And then you have to live with the reality. It's not the way you envisioned it.
Ah, yes. We are idealistic when we're younger. And so if we get married, we're thinking everything's going to be perfect. I've met this wonderful partner. And then we're disappointed when life happens.
That's true. And everybody goes through this. I mean, you expect this perfection in your head, and there isn't a person on this planet that can fulfill on all of those expectations.
Well, in all fairness, I think some people never outgrow that. We get into a marriage thinking, oh, this person better be Mr. or Ms. Perfect or else I'm going to be disappointed. And the first time they leave the bathroom door open, guess what? There's your first disappointment.
Right. There's your first argument. Yeah. Looking for Mr. Right is not exactly reality, but looking for the right person for you, that reality. But I'd say that would be the first season. The other part, when you're young, you're still starting out in life, you're not figured out your career, you've not figured out who you are, and you're still growing and changing as a human being. Not only that, so is your career. It's tossing and turning and changing. So sometimes you might be out of a job, you might suffer financial stresses, and this is where the stress really happens in a marriage, the next season, which is, you know, financial season.
Financial season. If that's good financial season, I'm all for it. If it's the winter of our discontent, as far as finances go, maybe not so much. But you said a couple really interesting things there that I think we really need to cover in more detail. The first is, hey, you know what? If you find someone and you enter into a relationship very early in your life, relatively speaking, you still have growing to do as a human being. I mean, your cerebral cortex doesn't even fully mature till you're, what, 26? So you could get married at 21, 22 and not have even really found yourself yet.
And that also includes your spouse. Your spouse hasn't found themselves yet. So before you know it, 4 or 5 years into your marriage, you don't even recognize yourself or the other person that you've married because you've changed in so many ways, which is sad because you want to grow together, not grow apart.
Yes, but it seems like we see a lot of young couples who say, man, I don't even understand who I dated anymore. I don't even understand who I am. Man, I married the wrong person, not knowing what was in store for myself as I grew up, literally and figuratively.
No, I can relate to that because when I was 19, I remember one of my family friends said, hey, you know, y'all really need to slow down and think about this. You're a little too young to get married. Wait until you're about 25 when you've, you know, discovered who you are and then get married. And I'm thinking, how dare you say that? You're married and happy. You know, it must be miserable because, you know, I'm happy and I know who I am. But what I did not realize, he was right. And the reason why I say that is because I did have a lot of growing to do. And yes, I knew who I was and where I was going, but my spouse did not know that. And I was unaware that there's two of us who could be potentially changing in this relationship.
Yeah, we're indeed idealistic, right? I mean, for my part, I was not anywhere close to relationship ready all through my 20s. I mean, I felt like I matured. I learned some social skills. I stopped being a people pleaser, et cetera, et cetera. All things that were very important to attracting the kind of women I want and being the kind of partner a woman would want. You know, the deserve what you want stuff, right? But, man, it would have just been disastrous if I would have shacked up with one of my girlfriends from my early 20s, like in college or when I was on my first couple assignments after college in my career. And, you know, the other thing that you said was we're still figuring ourselves out financially. It's like one of my quasi-mentors, Harvey McKay, the business writer, once said, you learn in your 20s and you earn in your 30s. So when you're learning these hard lessons in your 20s, it's hard to hold down a relationship and expect that to go really well, even from the interpersonal standpoint, let alone the fact that you're not even financially stable just yet, right? And, you know, God bless anybody who's out there listening going, hey, you know what? I'm raising my hand. I'm financially stable. I'm a multimillionaire and I'm 23 and me and my honey are doing just great. Well, more power to you, but I don't think that's the norm. I think that's more the exception, even nowadays.
I would agree with that 100%, and which is a wonderful exception to experience. But most young people are going to go through the trials of figuring out how to get through life financially and grow and earn their income through this world. And as they enter their 30s, they become more stable. Things start to level out. But then that comes to the next stage of life, whether you do it before or after stability, which is children.
Ah, children. That is definitely a season of life and a season of a relationship is parenthood. You know, one of the things that definitely happens early in your relationship is you both are probably dinks. Dual income, no kids.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Or here's the one I just heard a couple days ago, which I think is arguably even better and more meaningful. Dinkwad.
And what is that?
Dual income, no kids with a dog.
That's awesome. That would have been me.
What a couple of dinkwads, right? Or a few dinkwads if you include the dog.
Right.
That's a dog with a couple of no kids.
I like that.
I don't know what that acronym is, but I'll let one of the listeners tell me. But yeah, you know, in your early 20s, it's just the two of you. You're learning to get along. You're in your honeymoon period, which I want to talk about, right? And unless it was like a shotgun marriage or something like that, which is fully possible, right?
I've known a few of those.
Yeah. You probably don't have kids yet and you both have a job. So financially speaking, at least you don't have a whole lot of stress and drama around, you know, your relative lack of income because you don't have kids yet. You don't have a whole lot of responsibilities yet just to each other. Although if she makes more money than you do, you may go through a dark season.
That can be very possible depending on how everybody views who owns the money. Mine, yours, or ours. It's important to view that as ours. Otherwise, that's going to be a huge upset to the relationship.
Well, you know, that's a season unto itself now, isn't it? Figuring each other out, figuring what we want to do, figuring out our future, where we want to live, how much money we make, what my career is going to be, and what your career is and how it intersects. That's a season.
It is. It is. And I think a lot of young people go through it, but even the second marriages go through it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you get a new spouse after a divorce or being widowed, it doesn't matter what age you are, you're going to have to relive that season with that person as well.
Yes.
No doubt. Yeah. So here we are as a couple, for sure. We did meet in our mid and late 30s, but who we are as a couple, here's a good question before we dive into the seasons. What hasn't changed over 20 years?
Ah, that's a good question. I think overall, my values haven't changed.
Mine either. I think I've evolved some. I think we evolve in maturity and wisdom as we move through life regardless. Hopefully, we move through it together. But I think having met in our 30s, it was more likely we wouldn't experience a radical change, like a complete change in our religion or something like that.
Or even personality. I know in the 20s, we did a lot of changing. But in our 30s, you know, 5 years after we were married, you were still the same person. I was still the same person. I mean, we had minor changes, like I became more relaxed, more easygoing. I wasn't the really strict type A personality that expects everything to go my way and perfectly. I kind of relaxed from that. And I think that comes with age.
You were more of a germaphobe then.
A little bit or a lot.
And you were more of a helicopter parent. You were afraid your kids would get hurt.
Oh my
goodness. Like
yes. So very much so. But you loosened me up there. You helped me with that.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the way it's supposed to work. When you meet someone and get into a relationship, you're supposed to be there for each other. You're supposed to bring something into the relationship that wasn't there before for that other person. And, you know, mutually.
I think it makes it easier when you get older to accept that.
Well, I also think that that's something that has not changed in 20 years for you and I. Both of us still bring something to this relationship. Another thing that hasn't changed is you and I are still looking at this relationship as a partnership and how can I make this other person's life better instead of how can I just take, take, take. You know, we didn't start from a transactional standpoint of, okay, what am I getting out of this? What can I pry with a crowbar out of this other person to make my life better? I think we pretty much immediately at the beginning realized our life was going to be a fun journey together that we were both equal partners in. And I think we've been giving to each other and enjoying our life together since. And I don't think that's ever really changed.
I know that's a great season to go through, but we still have gone through different seasons while we're in that 20 years.
Well, one of them is the honeymoon phase. Now, a lot of times when people start feeling that 7-year itch, we did not. And people would say, you know, you two are remarkable. You still hug and hang on each other and kiss all the time and laugh and look at each other in that way. We all wish we could find someone who looks at us like that. And, you know, it'd been 7-8 years and we were thinking, man, you know, the honeymoon phase never really stopped.
Right. But I think that has a lot to do with we knew each other, we knew ourselves, and we knew what we were looking for. And I wasn't going to settle for anything less. And that's what I did. I knew the person I found. And that helped make that honeymoon last so much longer.
Yeah, because we chose each other. We're not settling for each other. This relationship isn't something I have to do. It's something I get to be a part of. And I think that makes it so, well, I'm not going to say the honeymoon phase never ended. I'm going to completely throw a wrench in the machine and say I'm not sure it was ever about a honeymoon phase to begin with. I think we decided this was the right kind of relationship, who we were in this relationship, and it has grown and evolved without any more or less enthusiasm since.
Right. So I think that helps. Us coming together wasn't an accident. It was a plan. It was a thought. So this is how we end up together. We didn't accidentally go, well, the next person that show up, that's who I'll get married and I'll make it work. That's not how real happiness happened.
Well, it was the culmination of what we talk about around here all the time. Better men get better women. Better women get better men. Both you and I had done the work to become big four people. We were confident, masculine and feminine. We actually liked the other gender and we had good, solid moral character. So when we met, we had the foundational building blocks after two respectively failed relationships to people who weren't relationship ready. We found each other and we were relationship ready. And the next thing you know, what's the icing on the cake? Deserving what you want. We did.
I was laughing because two failed marriages. No, it's one each, two combined.
Well, that's why I said respectively. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't that you and I weren't relationship ready. Although I can say for my part, I didn't want to be a victim and I did what it took to be better, not only with women, but as a potential future husband again, over the course of the 2 or 3 years between my divorce and when I met you. It seemed like it was longer than that, but it wasn't.
And I figured out what guys wanted in a woman and, you know, made sure I was that woman and made sure to find ways to let guys know that I was that type of person. So I had a lot of guys who were very much interested in being with me more permanently, but I wasn't just going to settle with anybody. I wanted the guy who matched with me the best.
Yeah. And I think that prolongs the silly season, the happy season of your relationship, and really guards you from going through that dark winter in many ways. So it can be an eternal springtime, but not in a Pollyanna-ish way that requires a label like a honeymoon phase. It really is. We chose correctly and we've lived a good relationship that's grown and evolved properly while we're still crazy about each other.
But with all of that, we still go through seasons.
Yes, indeed. We've gone through two major seasons in terms of what kind of activity and the mindset that's defined our marriage and our relationship over the years. The first one we went through was travel season.
Oh, that was awesome. We would travel the world, and initially it was just us, and then we start bringing the kids along. And then we switched gears and said, okay, let's start doing the BMX world, because you were huge into BMX, and join you and the kids and start riding as well. And so we were doing the national circuit.
Yeah, the kids became geniuses at it. So we went through what I put here, you know, you put more elaboration to it. I'm calling it youth sports season. You know, we went and did travel sports with the kids, had an RV. We didn't stop traveling. It's just that the adventure was different. And we've been doing that for, wow, since 2016. So the world travel / RV travel to national park season was basically from 2006, 2007 through 2016. And since then, we've been doing the youth sports season. But here's something that this audience needs to know. And after all, it seems like this is about roughly 10 years per season anyway, right? Our kids are aging out of BMX. We need a new season. What's next, Emily?
That's a good question, because we have one adult child together, and we still got one more that has another few more years before she's grown. So we're actually fixing to go into a not just a different, no longer BMX, but without children.
Yes. Well, we do have 4 or 5 years till Sarah goes off to college. Yeah, our son's 18. He's gonna leave the nest. But we still are in the process of figuring out what our next season will be. We don't have it figured out yet.
No, but I got all kinds of ideas.
Well, let's hear it.
I think I've shared them with you many times. But my dream, my wonderful dream is to get a Class A, small Class A, with a small 4x4 and head out west and just live rough and tough, traveling out in the West and taking that 4x4 on all kinds of rough terrain and just having a blast traveling together through the different national parks. See as many as possible. You know, the one goal I'd like to have is fill up that national park book.
Well, my first thought is you're talking about a Class A, and I'm more like a schoolhouse in the summer. No class. No, I kid. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I think you have to coordinate what you have going on in your life and kind of clear the deck a little bit so you can go do that. And I don't know how that happens for the next 4 years with Sarah going into the snowbird phase there. Man, talk about a boring teenage life for a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old.
As long as we don't have any more kids along the way.
More kids. Heck, I'm not even sure we'll have grandkids at the way it's going.
Oh, boy. No, we'll have grandkids someday. And that will be a whole nother life, because I'm going to want to settle down a little bit for that.
That's a season that's coming up, and we've yet to talk about that, too. But as far as the next season, you know, getting the RV and going around all over the country and becoming a snowbird would be a new season in life. But there would be a common thread there. It would still be about travel and adventure.
That's true. I guess that's just our passion.
Yeah.
We just can't change that.
Right. But you find a new adventure. You're an adventurous person. I'm an adventurous person. But, you know, once we've worn out the adventure package that we've been pursuing for so many years, it's time for a different one.
True. Like this one would be climbing rocks with a car.
Climbing rocks with a car.
The Jeep. The 4x4.
You want to be one of those people.
I do.
You want to go out to like Moab and be a crawler.
Yes.
Wow. I had not heard you say that before.
Oh, I thought you knew that.
That's pretty intense.
That would be so cool, don't you think?
I do, and I know people who do it, and it's good grief.
Expensive.
Like, expensive. You have to have more money than God because everything breaks all the time.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily safe.
Well, you remember I did have the Hummer. And I really wanted to take that off-roading and having fun, but as a single mom, I couldn't afford breaking anything, so I kind of treated it nicely.
Yes, and any vehicle you treat to a steady diet of off-roading is going to kill the vehicle. Even if it's like a jacked-up pickup truck that looks like it was born for this, most of those never see any dirt. They just look cool. Yeah.
I want one that isn't just looking cool, but it does cool stuff.
Yeah, so when you start actually going out and doing the 4x4 things, stuff breaks and you have to fix it. So, yeah, I mean, that's the first time you've ever talked about that. I find that interesting, too. But, you know, something we can talk about. That would be a huge conversation.
Well, you know, I think every couple should talk about the future and what they would do to make things different, say, 5 years from now or in a different season. Because that can be exciting to find out, hey, you just found out something you didn't know about me.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Why do we have our heads in the sand about what season comes next? I mean, you know, we know firsthand, having talked to couples, they have their head in the sand about what season they're in, let alone what season they're going to be entering later. But, you know, you mentioned the empty nester thing. You know, we were still having kids at 40 and 45 years old, respectively, so we're not empty nesters yet, right? But what might that season look like? What happens when Sarah moves away and it's just you and I and the RV?
I don't know. That's a good question. We haven't been there, but a lot of couples suffer during that time period. But I feel very confident because we have a very strong marriage. We didn't suffer the 7-year itch. We didn't suffer, I guess, was it the 11 or 12-year itch that people get sometimes?
Yeah, but some people just must have a skin condition or something if they're getting that many itches.
I think it's an every 7-year thing. This is what, 7 years, around 12, 13 years. That's close to 14, right?
So we have another year to go.
Right, something like that.
Once our, again.
21.
Yeah, once our relationship is old enough to drink, we'll have the problem.
Right. I think once the children leave, that's where the problems happen. Where a lot of couples go wrong is their whole life is centered around the children. So when the kids are gone, now what? You know, we've disconnected because everything we've done together is only about the kids. Where you and I, we haven't establish a life that way together. I mean, we have the kids, but they bring extra to our relationship. They aren't the center focus of our relationship.
It's really tragic how many couples wait for the kids to move out to get a divorce. And then they suffer in silence till the kids move out.
That's sad because that's a lot of wasted years.
There's actually a joke about that. Couple gets divorced after their 75th wedding anniversary. And the newsmen come to the door and go, 75 years together and only now you're getting a divorce? And they're doing a big news TV story on them with the lights. Why are you finally getting a divorce now? And the old man looks at his wife and scoffs and goes, well, we were waiting for the children to die.
Oh, that's so awful.
It's a little dark humor, isn't it? Yeah, very dark. But yeah, I mean, you know, once you're an empty nester, it's a test to how good your relationship is. It's a test of the metal between the two of you. And how strong has that relationship been? Or has it been just a means of taking care of kids for so many years?
Well, I think a lot of couples don't plan for the next season. The next season is always coming.
Like you said.
You get married, you got the honeymoon phase. So, well, I guess you have a honeymoon phase because you and I just seem to be in the same mode where we're always happy together. But
well,
you go
hold
through
on for a second. This is important because is that honeymoon phase the first act of shielding yourselves from the reality of what this marriage is rooted in?
Good question.
I'm just hot for you. You're so cute. We're having fun. We're dinkwads. We have a cute little puppy. We're doing fun things, adventure this, adventure that, but we never connected. We never got to know each other. We may have settled for each other secretly, and we're already covering. We're running cover for a relationship that already isn't healthy. So once that facade falls down, once the novelty wears off, you're already left with, well, now we got kids. Well, first of all, you may get divorced, right? 7-year itch stuff. Or you may be left with the realization, okay, now that we got kids, we're stuck here. We don't want to get a divorce for the sake of the kids. So you go into pouring your entire life into parenthood at the expense of your relationship. You don't bother to try to fix anything. You just peacefully coexist. And then when the kids are out of the nest, boom, you're left with the same problem you always had.
Well, that's because you were roommates, not partners.
That's right. That's right. Sad.
But I think I have another theory for that honeymoon stage, because I think a lot of people truly do connect. They get along great and they get married with high expectations and they meet with disappointment and then they stop talking. Mm. And then they end up being resentful and they become roommates and they stop fulfilling each other's needs. Then the kids come along and you're kind of stuck together and you kind of just push through it until they're gone. Now you don't seem to have a purpose to stay glued together. And a lot of that's rooted in the lack of commitment. The commitment isn't because you got kids. The commitment's because you love and share each other's joys, because you want to do things for each other and respect one another. That commitment of, no matter what's going on, I'm going to make this relationship work. We're going to talk this through. I'm going to find out why my husband's not happy. What can I do to fulfill those dreams and wishes of his, and vice versa? But if I don't share those thoughts and ideas with him, he can't relate to me either. And then when the children leave, there's nothing but a shell of the both of you.
Well, I think that's an interesting take, and I think it's valid. Because it's not only about the veneer of novelty that wears off over time, it's that this couple, whoever they are, this theoretical couple we're talking about, never really connected. They never saw it as important. So once the novelty wears off, they don't even know how to connect. They perhaps don't even see the importance of connecting. I think that's an interesting take you brought up. Yeah.
And I think the only thing that gets them through all those years is hoping that they will get back to those blissful years.
Well, that's hope. Where couples coaching comes in. If anybody's listening to this particular show thinking, man, that's us, that's me and my honey, you're not broken. This isn't a mental health issue. It's simply a matter of reconnecting, learning to do that, which somehow we forgot, we overlooked, or we didn't even know was going to be necessary someday. That's right where we can help.
And that's not because anybody is bad in the relationship.
No,
it's just things
not.
Happen. It's a yeah. season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're growing old together yet. I don't feel old yet. But when we
I
do.
I hope to never grow old. Although when we got married, you remember the vows I said?
You want to have a 50-year anniversary together.
I do. I hold you to it.
I'm going to be an oldster. I'm going to be 90. Although, you know, my dad is 84, and I was talking to my sister the other day. My mom's 82. My dad's 84. Talking to them, you feel like you're talking to someone in middle age. You know, they haven't moved. The needle hasn't moved. They're still themselves. They don't talk or sound like old people. Okay, Mom, let's go out. And, you know, they don't talk like that. They still sound like themselves. I think that's happening more and more.
Oh, yes. And that will be us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you get older and things start to hurt, you know, you take the vitamins and realize this didn't have to hurt. You know, you can be better at maintaining your health. You can not drink so much or eat the way you used to eat, which is something I always struggle with. But, you know, the more you take care of yourself, the more you think, okay, my adventure doesn't have to end. There's no timeline on me being old. You know, we were watching Mel Brooks, who's 99. And what did he say in his interview? It's just, I forgot to remember I was old. Something like that. Something very like Mel that. Brooksian. Yes. So here I am, you know. I think that's really great advice. Growing old together is about having gone through a journey together. And that journey is meaningful, and the partnership is meaningful. And whenever I hear somebody say something like, well, you know, if I'm married to some 80-year-old woman, she's not going to be hot to me anymore, and I'm going to want someone younger and hotter. It's like, you know, chalk it up to God's dirty little trick or whatever. But, you know, when we're in love with someone and we're in a partnership for the right reason,
we cherish and respect one another.
The legacy even starts mattering.
Yes.
And it's not because it has to matter, not because you're making an excuse so it matters. It's where your priorities are.
Well, think about it this way. The person that I'm with and I'm very old with, like when we're in our 70s, right? I'll look at you and the one thing I won't see is that you're old and you have the wrinkles. You don't look youthful when we first got married. But what I will remember is all the times we went through when it was hard and difficult, the dark times, that all the wounds that I have suffered through the years from whatever the world has thrown at us, you were there for me. We were there together. We fought things together. We were a team. And that forms a very special bond.
What an incredible way to finish off this particular episode, because what you spoke is pure truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get in a relationship with someone and they don't even want to be there for you to give you an aspirin when you have a headache the first 6 months you're together because that's too much for them, you might want to find a different relationship. Because I tell you what, when you're old and decrepit years later, they're not going to stick around. They're going to be off doing something else. Yeah, there's that commitment to each other because you love and you adore each other. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking when you get to that age, you got a lot of serious ailments, some of them not so pleasant to do for one another.
Yeah, and you know, you see older couples where one becomes the caretaker for the other during something really unfortunate, like dementia or something like that. And it's painful and it's terrible. But there's no question over whether they're going to stick around or not, because the commitment mattered. And I don't know. We haven't been there yet, so I don't know if I would want to be there or I have to be there. But all I know is I wouldn't leave. That's all I know, and I think that's all that's important.
And I wouldn't either. We're here for each other.
And we still are. And we'll be here for you once again in 10 weeks with another episode of The Big Show where Emily and I host it together. But until then, we want to remind you, all you couples out there, if you're struggling with anything, if there's anything that resonates with you about what we've talked about today and you know you need a course correction in your relationship, or if you're a man and you're meeting women and you're not sure how to start that relationship or even navigate it once you get there to a point where it's going to be future-proof and you're going to be built to last, you're who we invite to talk to us about getting some coaching so that, hey, you don't have to go through the mistakes both Emily and I did before we met each other. That you can have a relationship that lasts, a healthy one, one where you're there for each other for all the right reasons. And if you're listening to this on the X and Y on the Fly feed, you can go to scottandemily.com. That's all you have to do. Scott with one T. scottandemily.com. Click that red button in the upper right-hand corner and talk to us. If you're on the Mountaintop podcast feed, same thing. Go to mountaintoppodcast.com, however, and click the red button in the upper right-hand corner. This has been a fun conversation, but a deep one and a necessary one, huh, Emily?
It is. It's been fun. It's one that we have not done yet.
Yeah, after all these years, it took us 20 years of marriage to finally talk about the seasons of marriage. I'm so glad we did. It's a good one.
Let's find out what we talk about another 20 years from now.
Yeah, we'll have to do the 40-year show.
Yeah.
We may start sounding like Mr. and Mrs. Claus at that point. Well, Ma, it's been 40 years. You know, I'm still farting dust. You know, you'll go, Scott, you old poop. You know, it'll be like on Golden Pond. Right? Oh, man. Anyway, until the next time we talk to you, I'm Scott McKay.
And I'm Emily McKay.
Be good out there.
And have fun.
You've been listening to the X and Y on the Fly Dating Podcast with Scott and Emily McKay. Copyright 2009 by the X and Y Communications Worldwide Media Casting Network. Be sure to listen to Scott and Emily's other podcasts, including The Chick Whisper, Dating Cast, and Online Dating Profile Rating, all found on iTunes or at x-net-media.com. Also, check out Scott and Emily on the web at www.deservewhatyouwant.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the X and Y Communications Worldwide Media Casting Network. Be good and have fun.